Amen. You have the victory tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. You would stand with me if you're able to, and not already. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 10. I was just sitting there thinking, I appreciate our bishop. Amen. Now there's a reason that I was thinking of specifically. I just owe a lot of my foundation as a Christian, as a minister to him. And he always taught and preached practical things, just like our pastor does. And it makes me encouraged when on a Sunday night, when you feel some sort of expectation that you're bringing something practical that the Lord laid on your heart. That, you know what, this is what Bishop did all the time, whether it was Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday morning. And so let's hear the word of the Lord tonight. Amen? Amen. John chapter 10, starting at verse 1, reading in the New King James Version. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Amen. Tonight I want to speak on the topic, hearing God's voice. Hearing God's voice. Amen. Let's put our Bibles down and ask the Lord one more time to speak to our hearts tonight, minister to our minds and ears. Lord, we thank you so much, God, for your goodness, your blessings, the presence that we feel in this place. I pray, Lord God, Jesus, that you minister through the preaching of your word, Lord Jesus. Let it not go back void. Your word says it won't, God. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would open up our hearts, our minds, to what you have for us tonight. God, Lord, this principle, Lord, these principles of practicality, Lord, of Christian living tonight, God, I pray, let it go forth as you've laid it upon my heart and my lips, God, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. God has spoken since the creation of the world. Genesis 1, 1 through 3, right in the beginning, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. We see throughout the creation story in the first chapters of Genesis how God spoke, and at the sound of his voice, the fish, the trees, the animals, all the dandelions in my neighbor's yard that are up on the screen that are looking to invade. That's just exactly how my neighbor's yard looks at me right now. Like, we are coming. Invade his yard. But I'm thankful because my son can go over to their yard and pick the pretty flowers for mama. then come back to our green grass that is being invaded. But anyways, he also created the mosquitoes that we will experience soon. Anyone thankful for summer? The mosquitoes are coming. Everything else was created by his spoken word. We see the power and authority in the voice of God right off the bat. But early on, we also see him speak to his creations. Genesis 3:8, and it says, and they heard, and this is Adam and Eve, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Scripture records later on that Abraham heard the voice of God call him, tell him to go to another land. The prophet Samuel at a young age in the temple heard the audible voice of God. Paul in the New Testament, man passionate about God but lacking a revelation of Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, was struck blind and a voice spoke to him, giving him a revelation of who Jesus Christ was. The voice of God has spoken to man throughout human history. Amen? And to this day, God's voice can not only be heard, but God is wanting to speak to each and every one of us. He recognizes our voice, and we have the ability to recognize his voice. It's amazing as a parent how distinct your own child's voice is. Always heard this, never realized till I was a parent. If you just noticed, I heard the cry, and he's not in here anymore. But I knew it was Josiah. And if my eyes were closed and Someone cried out, a kid cried out, I'd know it was Josiah, like I just recognized him. He's having an intense moment of fellowship with my wife, I'm sure, right now. Amen. I'm thankful for my wife, amen. Thank you, all you mothers, you're wonderful. Just the same, our Heavenly Father hears us when we cry out to Him, and He knows us by name. David wrote in Psalms 55:17, evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice. God hears our cry, but He also responds to our cry. David again writing, and this is in Psalms 40, starting at verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. I'm here to tell you tonight that if we cry out to the Lord, He will hear our cry and He will respond to our cry. Jesus said to the people in Matthew 7, verse 7 and 8, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks, it will be opened. So God hears us. He recognizes our voices. He responds to our cries. But I've come to ask you tonight, how are you hearing God's voice? There's an interesting phenomenon with children that even as a newborn, it's interesting that they already know who mom is. Why? Because for 9 months, they sat there listening to mom's voice, and they know that voice. The same could be said of dad if they're present and actively talking to the baby while it's in the womb. I saw a video on social media once where this little newborn girl just was bawling and blood-curdling screams and just, you know, crying her head off in the hospital, and then the dad came in and just started talking a little gently, and boom, she was quiet. She knew dad's voice. Then he walked away, and and then he started talking again, and boom, because she knew dad's voice. As you probably know, we adopted Josiah, and he's been with us since day 3. And in our overabundance of research and reading about adoption, we heard about how an adopted child, there are cases that they get confused about who mom is and who dad is because they've heard the voice of their birth mother for 9 months, and then they are separated, and now, especially if it's the child has passed from person to person to person, there can be this connection, this confusing time for the child. And so this is one of the reasons we didn't pass him around a lot as an infant, because we wanted him to know who dad and mom were. Probably read a little too much and overanalyzed a little too much looking back, but hey, it is what it is. And he spent lots of time in our presence. We held him a lot. We cared for him, nurtured him, and now I come home and immediately here's a door, and I hear this scream across the, Daddy! I see you, son. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Looking at this from the spiritual side of things, Psalms 51 says, we're born in sin and we have a natural propensity to sin. But Romans 8:14 through 16 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. We are adopted into the family of God. And so to hear and recognize our Heavenly Father's voice, we need to spend time with Him. We need to cry out to Him. We need to identify ourselves with Him as His child. And we're going to have that recognition of His voice in our lives when He does, in fact, speak. But there are challenges to hearing the voice of God. I love it when I'm down on one knee, getting on Josiah's level to talk to him, correct him, or whatever, just, you know, tell him something, and I'm in a serious conversation, and then there's a rumble on the street, and he's like, Dad, is that a motorcycle? I'm like, son, I'm trying to talk to you. Or, you know, like something, you know, something flies, and oh, is that a plane? Oh, you know, squirrel, you know. Or we're walking to the bathroom together to brush our teeth, and I'm going through the steps of what we're going to do. Son, we're going to brush your teeth, and then we're going to get your jammies on, and then we're going to go have some snuggle time, and then we're going to pray. And then right in the middle, he's like, Dad, there's my Bucky Badger. Can I grab my Bucky Badger? Folks, there are distractions all around us. In Luke 10, we read about Mary and Martha, two sisters that Jesus was visiting. They're at Martha's house, and so Martha was busy doing the dishes, getting drinks, making Ritz Bits hors d'oeuvres, while Mary just sat at Jesus' feet talking to him, communing with him, interacting with him. And Martha complains because she's doing all the work, distracted by the housework, distracted by the busyness of things. And verses 41 and 42, Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Essentially, Jesus was telling Martha she was allowing things to distract her in the moment that she had to interact with him face to face. But Mary was taking that time, focusing on learning his voice. We have to push aside the distractions in life to hear the voice of God. Our second challenge, it comes when I don't know about you, but hardest time to hear someone correctly or understand what they're saying is when there is a bunch of other people in the room. And it's a big, large room, and it just the din of all the voices are just, you know, it's like, what did you just say? You know, and you're sometimes it's like, yeah, I agree. Yeah, like, I have no clue what they just said. Sometimes, you know, at altar call when, you know, we're praying and the sound is just wonderful, and a little hint to the sound folks, you know, and it's like, yep, get the Holy Ghost. I don't know what you're saying, you know, but anyways. But it's hard to, things get muddied. Instructions can be drowned out. So the second challenge of hearing the voice of God is the other voices in our lives. The voice of man contradicting the Lord and his word. Someone tells you don't have to worry about a behavior in your life. That was for them way back then. It's in the Bible, but it's not for us today. Make sure to align their theories with the word of God first. That's why we use scripture when delivering the word of God. We don't come up here and just preach and just say, this is what we theorize and this is what we think about life and about living a good Christian life. No, we try our dead level best to use the scripture of God and base things out of the scripture of God. And if we're not careful, we can allow the voices of others to drown out the voice of God. The second voice is the voice of the enemy. In the beginning, the enemy's tactics was to twist God's word. And he succeeded with Eve and convincing her that the steps he was suggesting were somehow good and she shouldn't listen to what she was instructing. And if we're not careful, the voice of the enemy will twist what God is trying to tell us. Last voice that is in our lives is the voice of self. Whether it's a self-deprecation or thinking that we know what's best for our lives. Yeah, sometimes we think we know what's best. I got this covered. I don't need your help in this area. I've got it covered. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. If we're not careful, our voice will lead us astray. We have to wade through the other voices to clearly hear the voice of God. It's our second challenge. Challenge number three. Let's look at Habakkuk 2:19. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, what sorrow awaits you who say to wooden idols, wake up and save us. To speechless stone images you say, rise up and teach us. Can an idol tell you what to do? They may be overlaid with gold and silver, but they are lifeless inside. Idols mentioned in this scripture are referring to statues made of metal or stone or wood. But what is an idol? It's something, it's anything that takes a position of importance in our lives from God. It represents God to us. So some folks, some religions, they worship idols. They have a statue set up in their home, and that's what they worship. It represents God to them. But let's extend it further in our lives. A relationship can be an idol. Our job can be an idol. Our hobbies can be idols. Our house, our home can be an idol. Our kids can be idols. Money can be an idol. Things that we look to for answers that really should only come from God. What do idols have in common? They are speechless. We look to them for answers. We look to them for meaning in our lives, for fulfillment in our lives, for love, for direction. But they are speechless. They won't speak back to you. A job will not answer the cry of your heart, no matter how much you pour into it. Know how much, how many hours and how successful your business becomes, or how far you advance in the company up the corporate ladder, or how big your business grows. That is not going to answer the deep core cry of your heart for affirmation, for approval, for anything. A relationship will not answer the longing to be loved. As we are trying to hear the voice of God, we face the challenge of the speechless gods in our lives. If we've made an idol out of something, we must lay it down to the one true living God whose voice we can hear. Amen. So we look out for distractions, push them aside. We shut out the other voices in our lives so we can fine-tune our hearing, and we lay aside the speechless gods and idols in our lives. So that leads us to the question, how does God speak? How do I hear the voice of God? Revelation 3:20. It says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." The foundation for any communication is having a relationship. And we need to talk to the Lord, as we already mentioned. We need to open up our lives to him. As Revelation 3 puts it, open the door to our lives. When we open the door, he's going to walk in, and we'll begin to hear his voice. We need to spend time with the Lord. So how does the Lord speak? Psalms 103, verse 20, it says, "Bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word." The word of God speaks to us. The word of God speaks to us. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." The word of God teaches us. It corrects us. It equips us. All of those things sound like someone in my life that they would, a human being would do, but this is talking about the word of God. That, to me, that infers that the word of God can speak to my heart. Amen. Whether it's the written word of God in our daily Bible reading or it's the spoken word of God, we should listen to the word of God. It will speak to us. Romans 10:17 says, "Though so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Word in this scripture comes from the Greek word rhema. I was looking through some notes I had taken along the way past few years. Brother Grant actually made a comment about rhema, a rhema word as the preached word, the inner voice of God speaking to you. Brother Seidel, both happen to be here, so that's kind of cool, said the active word of God that comes alive in the Holy Ghost in preaching. And so we hear the word of God, or we read the word of God, and it's just like it jumps off the page to us. And something that we've read, how many times we've heard, "Oh yeah, I've heard preachers like, yeah, I've read this so many times, but man, just the other day I was reading this, and boom, it just..." That's the rhema word, the word of God speaking. And it's not just for those who are ministering, but us in our personal lives, in our daily devotion, we can be reading something that we've always read, and boom, something pops out like, "Oh, that's what it's talking about. That's what it means." Or it leads us to some scripture study, and it's just boom, boom, boom. And it's the rhema word, the living word of God. It speaks to us. Amen. And it can resonate with our spirits. John 5:37 says, "And the Father himself who sent me," this is Jesus speaking, "and testified of me, ye have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form, but you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." If we're not in the book, that's one reason we don't hear his voice, because we're not actively seeking his scripture. The second way, that's what, number one, he speaks. The second way he speaks to us is through his peace. Now follow me here for just a second. Hebrews 8:10-11 says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them." Highlighting, I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. So what are his laws? How does his government work? Well, if we go to Isaiah 9, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end." And then Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful." God will speak through peace. What do I mean by that? If you're making an important decision, or you're praying and asking the Lord to direct you and guide you, give you wisdom, there will be peace when it comes to the correct direction. We will feel an uncertainty, a hesitation, a check in our spirit if it's not what we're supposed to be. But again, the very foundation of this is having that active relationship with the Lord, communing with the Lord, because then he will give you that check, or he will just, you know, there's been times in my life, like, you know, where I was just telling this actually in 201 this morning, talking about ministry placement and how the Lord calls people and getting involved in ministry. And I mentioned that my dad was a janitor during college, and it was kind of like a Paul on the Damascus Road moment, just like heavens opened, light shone down, and it was like, ah, you know, and the freshly buffed floor anyways, but it was a God moment, and he specifically, like, it was just a powerful, "You are going to Greece" type thing. I don't know what he said, what God said to my dad, but it was a very just moment. Whereas me, it's, you know, growing up, I had heard that, and I always felt that was how it's always is. Well, for me, it's never been like that. It's been open door and open door, and I'm just, okay, I'm just going to serve. Oh, here's an open door. All right, I'll walk through the open door. Oh, you're musical, and we need a youth choir director. Okay, I guess, you know, the Lord had laid upon my heart youth ministry. I guess this is the open door. Walk in, and then this and this, and it's just been open door after open door. And you know what? Every open door, there's been peace. Just because you have an open door doesn't mean it's of God. Or it could be of God, and he's just testing you if you're going to. So make sure that open door, that there is a peace associated with it. And if there is, walk through it. Walk through it. Maybe you don't have this big, like, aha moment in the audible voice or handwriting on the wall. "Yes, go to Africa on an AYC trip and go to Senegal, Rebecca Thompson." No, it's an open door. It's a burden that the Lord lays on your heart, and there's a peace with it. You know what? There's no UPC church. Well, now there is, but there wasn't at that time. But hey, if there's a peace despite the circumstances, all right, I'm going to walk through. And so God speaks through us through his peace. The third way, Proverbs 11:14, "Where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." If we think God spoke to us, it's wise to pass it through the filter of our elders. If they don't think it's wise, from the outside looking in, being prayerful and watching over us, do we really think we should move forward anyways and that it's going to work out because we heard from God? I would rather say, you know what? Okay, I'll put it on the back burner, even though maybe in my spirit I feel God spoke to me. But if my elders say, not right now, no, I don't think so, maybe they don't give you an answer, it's best that we say, you know what? All right, I'm putting that aside, and I'm going to trust my elders. Hebrews 13:17, "Obey those who rule over you. Be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account." The problem is that we can want something so badly in our lives, and our emotions and our spirits are so interconnected, we can actually talk ourselves into thinking that God has spoken to us. And we feel something in our spirit, but because it's such something, a longing in our hearts, we learned this the hard way. While we were, after we found out we couldn't have children, we're waiting for the Lord, Fiona had felt in prayer that she was going to have a son and call him his name Josiah. And so she interpreted that. Now, I didn't know this. She interpreted that as she was pregnant. And it, because she had been praying and stuff. And you know what? That month there, the cycle was late and delayed. And so it was just like this big swelling of, this is it, this is it, this is it. And boom, it all came crashing down when she had her cycle. And it threw up this whole, you know, faith crisis that once again brought it back up. What in the world, God? I know you spoke to me. And thank God she had an elder in her life, a wise woman who's able to walk her through that situation and help explain that. Your emotions and your spirit are so connected, and you want this so bad that you feel it was God. Well, it was God speaking in a way, because we did have a son and named him Josiah, but it wasn't that time. It wasn't what we thought it was. And so just because you think it's of the Lord and you feel it in your spirit, before you just announce, this is what God told me, I'm going in. You know what? If you come in and say, God told me to go here, I'm moving. Or God told me to take this job, I'm just doing it. You know, more than likely, pastor's going to be like, he's already got his mind made up. But if you approach it like, this is what I feel in my spirit, the Lord leading me. What do you think? I want your protection in my life. Should I do this? And approach it in that way. Man, the protection that's there, the safety that's there is so powerful and can prevent things from happening in our lives that we may never have wanted to happen. Thank God for elders. Thank God for counsel in our lives. Amen. While we should avoid the voices of men and women that are contrary to the word of God, we should embrace, we should welcome the voices of men and women who watch over us. Amen. Are you thankful for your elders? Are you thankful for the counsel in your life? Amen. Amen. And then First Kings, 19:11 through 12. Then he said, go out. This is God talking to Elijah. Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains, broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. As we go through our daily lives, and we've been opening the door to the Lord and speaking to him and reading his word, God will also speak into our lives through that still, small voice. You know, some have been blessed to hear the audible voice of God. Me, it's been nudgings. Yeah, this is the right way. Nope, you need to correct that, Phil. I love Isaiah, how he describes it. God leads and guides us like a voice behind us. Kind of like someone, you know, that whole old image of the little devil and the little angel on your shoulders. That's what I thought when I read this. But it is like that. It's like, no, Phil, don't go that way. Man, you reacted poorly. You should go talk to them. Ask them forgiveness. Ooh, yeah, that's it. That's how you do it. Come on, Phil, you can do it. And there's that still small voice that he will speak to. It's like someone gently nudges us, speaking a word into our spirit. And that's how God speaks. Amen. If you would stand with me. Are you needing to hear the voice of God in your life? Are there decisions? Maybe there's not decisions that you're making, but you just need the voice of God to encourage you, to stir you, to shape you, to mold you. Are you getting the word of God jumping right off the pages? Has it been a while? Is nothing resonating with your spirit? Are you consumed with the distractions or the other voices in your life, and there's conflict, and there's like, well, so-and-so, my brother or my uncle or my cousin or my best friend saying this about the scripture and this voice in my life, or, man, I'm just not worth it. I know what's best for me. I'm going to do my own thing. Are there voices in your life? Are there idols that are taking over your life, that is just seemingly like, little by little, there's a song, old time is, not old, old for me, last, I don't know, 10 years ago, called A Slow Fade, I'm sure some of you remember, and just talked about how you just kind of, I don't know, it's like one thing adds to another, and, you know, I'm doing good things here, and they're all good things. I love how Hebrews says, lay aside the weights that easily distract us. Things that are not sinful, but they're just weigh us down. The voices in our lives, the things in our lives, the speechless gods, they're never going to answer you back. They're never going to speak to the deepest longing in your heart. But yet we fill our lives with all these idols. Oh, my kids, they're the best thing in the world. Well, what happens when they move out of the house? They're gone. Does your life fall apart and it's like, wow, I don't know God anymore? Because he's been, this little Josiah has been my world. No, it's like my relationship with Jesus is first and foremost before my child. Amen. I want to encourage you to come to this altar as they begin to sing. I want to hear the voice of God, don't you? Amen. I hope this has been help to you. If you're struggling, I don't know if I've heard the word of God or the voice of God. Well, I hope this has helped you. Maybe you've just felt the peace. Be encouraged by that. Maybe you've, in the word, it's, you know, you're not hearing an audible voice, but you feel that gentle nudging, that the voice behind you. And I want to encourage you, keep talking to the Lord. Let's commune with the Lord. Let's talk to him. Let's open that door of our lives to him. Amen. Won't you come find a place to pray tonight? Talk to the Lord. He will talk to you. If you have a need, cry aloud. Cry out to God. If you're in the miry clay like David was, cry out. He'll pull you out of that miry clay. Set you on a rock to stay. Amen. Amen. Won't you come down? Find a place to pray. Let's talk to the Lord tonight.
By listening to the voice of God.